Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 25 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Zuzula of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's begin, as usual, with our list of topics to cover. We'll start with you, Mike Zuzula.
Oh, probably the potential for that 2010 market similarities correlated with the rainfall that we've seen. And then probably worsening conditions in the emerging markets are, you know, noteworthy to talk about because that's our demand base.
Wayne Nelson?
You know, how much will they drop the crop ratings on Monday afternoon? And how important will the numbers be on Tuesday with not resurveying the farmers for their prevented plant and planted acres?
And Pete Manhart.
Well, how accurate will those numbers be on Tuesday? And then rain doesn't make grain. Rain makes less grain.
Okay, so the rain makes less grain. What are your producers telling you, Pete?
20% less than normal. And last year, we were 20 to 50 bushel above normal on corn. So we're looking, I think, at 150 to 160 in this area right now instead of 250 like last year.
So that's in the area. How widespread do you suppose this is?
I would say it covers most of Illinois. There are good spots where they might average 180 to 2, but very few think they'll get 2. Just too much moisture, too much leaching out of nitrogen.
This last set of rainfall that came through on Wednesday evening into Thursday of this week looked like it was pretty widespread. Mike Zuzulo came across to Iowa, into Illinois, off into Indiana. Iowa has not, other than the southwestern corner, has not been hurt terribly bad by rain to this point. Is that a good rain or a rain that begins a deterioration process for them?
Well, I think Iowa is not going to improve at this stage, and even Monday's numbers showed that. You know, they lost a point as well, and so the pattern that they're getting into the fringe of what the rest of us are in, or the vast majority of us on the Commodity Week program are in right now, it's not doing them any favors, and I think those garden spot areas, Todd, need to perform even better, especially in light of what Pete said. I mean, if you look at the acreage report, and you throw out 90.5 million planted acres of corn, and it's 1.3 million higher than what USDA is at right now. If you take your national yield down to 160, the top end of what Pete's talking about, you're talking about at a 13.7 billion total demand. You're right back to 1.5 billion bushels, and I sincerely believe that the trade's finally caught wind of that and is looking at that much more than the actual acreage and stocks numbers. And we have the USDA's crop conditions report to thank for the market to get its attention on what's important right now.
Okay, so garden spots, where are they? Where do you think might be a garden spot this year, Mike?
I think Minnesota and Iowa are the two major garden spots. I would say South Dakota's right there, and parts of Nebraska. Some of my clients in Nebraska are very satisfied with their crop right now, especially if they've got irrigation.
Okay, so for corn, you have number one, number three, number four, and what, number six in corn production, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about Dakota. I don't know where they landed. That they might be six for beans.
Between six and eight, yeah.
Yeah, so but you've got, generally speaking, one, three, and four. That's the garden spot for corn. But again, that's one, three, and four. The only top one out of that is Illinois. That tilts scales.
If you go to eastern Indiana into Ohio, there's some good area also. I've got guys over there that say they're in great shape. But guys in Illinois that thought they were decent this last week has hurt them.
What do you think, Wayne Nelson?
Well, I think that we're very fortunate right around the Newmarket area, but you go north to Crawfordsville towards Lafayette and that Linden area, and they have been pummeled with this rain, and they're not very happy. We saw, drove up there Tuesday for meeting, and I'll tell you what, the crops between Crawfordsville and Lafayette look poor. Went on to Chicago a couple weeks ago, and they are rough and behind in a lot of drowned-out spots. But I think that had we got the rain to stop this week, like some of the forecasters were talking about, we'd seen a pretty good chance of recovery and doing anything. Is this going to last another week or two along the way and get us too far down the line to make a good recovery? And it looks that way, and I think that Mike made a real good assumption there of that we're probably closer to 160 than 166 as far as the national yield right now.
And we'll find out more as we move forward through the growing season and USDA gives us crop production numbers. It's unlikely, I suppose, that they'll show us anything in the WASDE figures this next week. But the crop progress reports will continue to come. Is soybean, you suppose, kind of a different animal this time around than corn, because we're still in a balancing act, and I'm wondering, when you talk about garden spots for soybeans, if there really are any. Mike, can you begin to take that up?
I certainly think there are fewer, but I also think the market's much ahead of the curve on that as well. I mean, we had, what was it last week, that November bean-December corn ratio hit 2.6, and that was the highest in September of last year. And so I certainly think that the beans have had a much stronger buy side to it by the investment community. They caught wind of the prevent plant dates that are now passed, and the idea that the soft red winter wheat coming off with last weekend storms and the previous week's storms wasn't going to come off on time, and that was going to assure us of less double crop bean acres. So I think a lot of that's priced in, Todd. One thing I will qualify myself on is that meal weekly chart technically looks very, very strong, and we're at roughly 340 in July meal, and some of the technical objectives I could see is back up to 375, 380. So I don't want to diminish the meal technicals, but I think bean fundamentals, bullish fundamentals, have mostly been priced in at this stage.
Were they priced in, Wayne Nelson, all this week? Because we had a couple of different rallies during the week, and I'm not sure what those rallies were all about exactly.
Well, I think that we got the rally again towards the end of the week because of the rain that come through that was scheduled to miss a lot of the areas, and a lot of areas picked up more rain than what they were looking for. The one thing that I would sort of like to question and ask Mike back a little bit on that is, you know, we keep reading that the bean meal basis is up to $90 difference between the South American ports and the Gulf, and you wonder how meal can keep, maintaining that strength when it pays and be about $20 profit to bring it into a feed user on the East Coast.
Yeah, and I would answer that back, Wayne, that I think there's a lot less fundamental play in the soybeans. Soybeans remind me of feeder cattle right now. You know, we've got extremely strong margins in fat cattle. We've got really tight supplies of market-ready fat cattle. We've got a lot in the lots, granted, but what we saw this week was, to me, a simple unwinding of the feeder corn spread. And I think, not to oversimplify it, but I think technically and investment-wise, you're seeing the unwinding of the bean corn spread. And I agree with you. I think fundamentally the beans are the first ones to give way, but the investors and the technicians may keep it going a lot longer.
Okay. I suspect each of you have at least taken a ride through the countryside. For how far, I don't know. I want to hear from you what you think the crop looks like. I'll start because I've been in a couple of different directions. On today, Thursday, I went to due west from Champaign towards Mount Pulaski to the Lincoln area through Clinton. That crop actually looks pretty good. There are wet spots, certainly, but it looks really not too bad. I went on Monday straight north of my home in Mahomet up through Gibson City And then about another 10 or 15 miles and turned back to the east through Gilman, just on the other side of Gilman, and came straight down through Rankin on, what is that, 49, I think, into Ogden to the interstate. And I got to tell you that once you get to 130, once you get to just south of Gibson City, things start to get wet. North of Gibson City, they are awful. There are, and truly awful. We're talking, corn that is mostly only variable. There are some good fields, not many, but mostly only variable. And the beans, they might average, I don't think they'll average 6 inches. Maybe 4 or 5 inches tall. A lot of fields in that loop all the way around that were just really, truly ugly. And once I got around to Rankin, I didn't realize, that Ford County, the kind of the gun barrel part of Ford County and then into Iroquois County looks bad. And then you turn south into Rankin and it was really awful. I was surprised by how bad that area looked. Given that, I knew that probably would be the case with the 30-day rainfall. I kind of drove through there thinking I wanted to see what the Peoria, what I thought maybe the Peoria to Bloomington to Watseka to Lafayette area looks like, because that looked like it was really heavy rainfall over that 30-day period, ending last, Sunday. And then, from Logansport back across the Indiana-Ohio, border looks like it kind of had the same space. So anybody else travel around very much
from here to Champaign down to Decatur and Mattoon? I would call the garden spot in Illinois. From here north is crap. From here northeast is crap. You get down to Route 16, Mattoon across, there's areas, even Decatur across, there's areas guys still think they'll have a normal crop, but you get Route 16 where you got to stop the black dirt and go down to the gray dirt.
Right.
Some of those areas are good, but most of them aren't very good. And then you get far eastern Indiana into Ohio, not the deep southern part, but they're in good shape. But here in Illinois, I would say from, eastern McLean County to, let's say, Rantoul to Champaign to Tuscola to Decatur, that's the garden spot. Otherwise, we have way too much water.
Well, they're all more well-traveled than me. I haven't been getting out that much, Todd. And I basically, like I said, I think, from Route 36 up to Route 74 over here in Indiana, we're just very fortunate, and we've got some really, really good-looking crops. As we go north there, we've seen a lot more water damage and such coming along. If we could have dried up this week, I think there's a lot of progress could be made. If we stay another week of wet weather, I think, as one guy put it that raised a lot of pigs, a runt is a runt is a runt, and we've got some runny type crops out there that are going to have a lot of trouble, maturing and doing well. And I wonder if they'll, look at this and how far we'll go until we can have another couple weeks of weather.
I agree with Wayne on that thing about if we would have skipped last week and dried out, we would have a lot bigger, good area. And another week of rain like we've had will make some of those garden spots look worse.
Yeah, I took a drive from here in Atchison over to Lafayette over the weekend. I couldn't agree more with what you guys said. I would only add that it seemed like to me there were two crops being grown. The early corn, which was the much better corn. Hall, Illinois was absolutely gorgeous with tassels shooting already on Sunday.
That's as you came across the Mississippi, Hall.
Yeah,
right?
At Hannibal there.
Oh, Hannibal. Yeah.
Right, yeah, Hannibal Hall area. And then Jacksonville and Winchester area sounds a lot like those garden spots that Pete was just talking about.
Until this week.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. They have been calling in and saying we are quickly going down. The only other thing I would add is that along the northern part of that drive in Missouri from Hannibal over to St. Joe, Missouri, a lot of bean acres were getting put in, and a lot of bean acres were getting put in up against the deadline around here this week. So,
and when did you make the drive?
This was last Thursday I drove over, and then Sunday I came back.
So that's that 500,000 acres they planted.
They've had three to five inches since then in those areas in Illinois.
It'll be interesting to see what the planting progress on Monday is for soybeans, because I want to see what Missouri looks like.
Right. Well, I was just beans seemed to me, I guess, and you guys can help me out on this. I was thinking that those southwest counties in Iowa, in that Four Corners, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, and if you couple that up with what is, and Mike, everybody knows this, I think, that area from Watsika through Lafayette, and that's a bean growing. If you look at the numbers, that's a bean-growing area for the whole of the nation. I mean, everybody grows quite a few beans, but those guys, I think their rotation is closer to 50-50 than anybody else.
The thing you have to remember about beans is if you don't kill them, and you get from, let's say, July 10th to the end of August and have good weather, I've seen beans knee-high make 60 bushel that were crap the 1st of July.
The miracle crop.
But you can't kill them.
I'm going to be real interested also on the stocks report to see how the market reacts. I mean, we are going to have about triple the number of beans as of June 1 that we had last year at this time, and I want to see if the market goes back to that. That's probably, to me, the most negative potential number that the market may have to refocus its attention on, depending on what the weather's doing next week when that report comes out on Tuesday.
If the weather is like it is this week, and that makes things go down, we're going to be get long and get longer.
I hope you're right, Pete.
Do you think they will cut the stocks because of in Indiana here we keep paying 40, 45 over whatever for beans, and that means they're tight. And I haven't found anybody that's got a bin full of beans that I talked to. So I think that we were.
Down over here on beans.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, don't you think that we maybe have less beans than what they were projecting earlier in the year?
I don't know where they're at because nobody can find
them. Well, I can't find them. That's my problem.
I think that's a good point, Wayne. I think that's a real good point. I am interested to see. I think a lot of farmers have let go of some corn here because they've been forced to. It'll be interesting to see what the on-farm versus the commercial percentages, and that could be a big player if it shows some on-farm movement, and a lot of this corn is in the commercial hands, and we've got this kind of weather we're dealing with.
Average trade guess is what? 679, I think. 679 million left for the grain stocks.
On which, Todd?
Or
soybeans.
Yeah, or
beans.
670, right.
Yeah.
So it's about double. I said triple. It's more like double. Yeah, a little less than double, right?
Well, what does everybody think the prevented planting acres will be for beans? How many million acres?
I don't have a guess. I don't have a guess right now.
Do you see the numbers that the Ag Economist put out earlier this week? John Newton. Now John's no longer with us as of Friday.
Right.
And those numbers I know came out from, let's call it, the Farm Doc team. And that was total number of acres at risk. And the soybean set and at risk was it's not planted, it's up and in very poor-to-poor condition, or it's planted but not emerged. So they were three numbers, and none, they don't duplicate each other. It was about 19.3 million acres, or 23% of the intended acres. And to clarify, as we get through the crop progress numbers, I wrote a note to Mark Schleusner, who's the Illinois State Statistician, wanting to know how they came up with that percent planted figure, because it can't be of intentions eventually, and it's not. Of intention. So earlier in the year, the earlier in the season, the closer it is a percent of actual intentions. But at the end of the year, it becomes, well, I looked out there and it's now July the 15th, and that field's not planted. I know it's not planted. It's not going to be planted. So I call this 100% planted. Right. So So that number squeezes down. So eventually that crop progress number is kind of, it's of the number of acres they believe that actually will get planted.
Not
of the intentions. It's not a percent of the intentions eventually. So.
Okay, as we say that, the average guess for beans by one of the private ones was 85.3 million. Is that 85.3 million will get planted, or 85.3 is what the guess was if we take prevented plant off it and say there's 2 million prevented plant, that there's only actually 83 million?
Yeah, that's as of June 1. There was about 7.7 million soft red wheat acres. So let's say we lose half that. So you're talking about roughly 3.5 to 4 million acres. That's kind of how I'm eyeballing it, Wayne, to answer your question.
Yeah, and how many acres of beans that in that 85 didn't get planted that were originally going to be beans besides? We keep here, Missouri's got 2 million and Kansas has got 1 million, and I don't know if those numbers are right or not, but I would expect that harvested acres will be on beans really a low number compared to whatever the intended was this year.
Well, somebody asked me earlier this week if we've traded the biggest bean ending stocks number here in the United States, and it sure sounds like by this conversation that 500 is the top end, and we're not going to go back to that. Would you guys agree with that?
I would.
I think everybody's in agreement on that. Hey, you wanted to talk about, and because we've talked about this so much, Mike, you've been following kind of the 2010 market cycle. Where do we stand now? We left it for a while. Are we back on target yet?
Well, we left it in terms of the wheat market, and we've left it more in terms of the trade direction. We made the major lows on the 29th and 30th of June for Dease corn and November beans, and so we've made this low, if it's the low, have made it about a week earlier, and that's thanks in part to the wheat market finding its bottom. So I think we're still on track for that. Most of the technical and fundamental elements for that type of a market are in play. You know, we've got the 200-day moving average in July wheat tested today on Thursday. Hopefully that'll be support by the time we get to the weekend. The meal technicals, the wheat harvest fundamentals we talked about, and this post-emergence crop issue that all the producers are telling us about in the central corn belt. So you've got the fundamental reasons there. The only thing missing right now is the potential for Greek default and potential Greek even a revolution or anarchy if things go too sideways. 60 businesses a day are closing right now in Greece, and I think there's a real concern that we are going to see contagion in other countries in the European Union. And I guess I'm at a point right now where China and Japan and the European Union are not getting better on their own, and if Greece comes in and messes up the European Union, it could cause China and Japan further problems, and really calls into question what's going on the demand side. So almost this whole conversation has been supply side. I like the record ethanol production. I like the hogs and pigs numbers that I think we're going to get on Friday as far as corn demand, but I'm still nervous about that investment demand coming back into commodities because of what the Greek situation could do as far as contagion.
Yeah, so farmers really are looking, especially if some of them look out their back door and they start to feel really bullish a marketplace. How should they be taking the strides upwards in the market at this point? And do they need to take any action at all, in your opinion? And I think I will go around the horn, but start with you, Pete Manhart.
I've already got some that's sold, so I'm going to wait till after this report to check to see whether I need to sell more. I think the less of a crop is a big plus, but the demand side, which we just discussed, which is very poor or getting worse, could be the other side of it. But right now, I'm going to stay with what I already have sold until I get through next week's report.
Wayne Nelson?
You know, we looked at a few hedges earlier in the week. With the beans as such, not all of them, but we do a part of them. We are looking at not adding, and because of the rain forecast to come in here over the weekend, it looks to be a little bit influencing the market. But we are getting very nervous about wanting to do that because of we seem to be falling behind as far as new crop sales to China. We don't see them near as aggressive, and we see that we're way under the South American price for beans, and Argentine farmers are turning loose on beans. So we are going to be looking at doing some things. I know that some people are looking to take out the January highs. and we've got to somewhat look at that. But going to be careful and sit on our hands for now.
And I needed to add to my comment that I'm getting long also. I'm getting long.
And Mike?
I think the beans are the biggest concern for me just because of the supply down in South America and what Wayne brought up earlier. This means that stay technically favorable to beans, but lock in your floor because producers just can't tolerate the lower prices going into 2016. I think that's first and foremost in my mind. So I would like to be back up to 100% hedged in 15 beans before next week's report, probably right before the crop conditions numbers come out. But do it with known cost positions or very manageable positions so you're not, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You can improve upon your hedge price. Corn, I'm willing to give it more leeway, Todd, maybe even till after the report, just because of that 2010 similarity and the way the wheat markets come around. But I just feel like we have to have the dollar on our side. We have to get the investment demand on our side. And right now the ag sector, really the grains are rallying without gold or crude leading. And I typically don't like that when that goes on.
Pete, you said you were long, wanting to get long. Are you long both corn and beans?
Both. I'm getting long both by buying 480 calls, 450 calls in corn, by buying $11 calls in beans. We bought $11 calls this week for 5 to 9 cents. They're up at 12 to 14 now. But we're buying calls far out, price-wise, out of the money.
Final word from each of you. We'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
I think the weather is going to give us a little bit of boost into the report next week. I think that the report could be very beneficial to the beans if they would cut the stocks. But then we're going to be a weather market for the next 3 weeks.
Mike Zuzulo?
I guess I would argue that the expected decline in the conditions on Monday's reports already being priced in heading into the acreage and stocks report. And if that's the case, Todd, and we get any kind of bearish numbers to the marketplace, they may have to go back and retrace. And that's going to be the time where if you haven't put any length in place or if you think you need to lift hedges, that's kind of where I'm looking to do that is after that report comes out.
And Pete Manhart.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, lifting those due to big, huge stocks, and maybe they won't have the real acres yet. Maybe it'll still be more intended than what we really did plant. I expect that acreage to go down in July and August from this report. So if the report makes things back up, we're looking to buy out-of-the-money calls, out-of-the-money on corn and beans, and to lift hedges.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joined on this June 25 edition of Commodity Week by panelist Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.